This is the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency with information for business and IT professionals. This episode is brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/podcast and use the coupon code CIAOps. This is episode 55 with Lucas Meadowcroft. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. My name is Robert Crane, and in this episode, I'm joined by Lucas Meadowcroft. Lucas, welcome.
Thanks very much, Robert.
As we always start out here on the Need to Know podcast, what we'll do is get our guest to introduce himself, let us know all a bit about his background, what he does, and where he's come from. So if you could give us some of that detail, Lucas, that'd be great.
Sure, mate, no worries. Lucas Meadowcroft, my IT company on the Gold Coast here called TSE. I'm a part owner and director in the company. My business partner, Tony Hugh, is down in Melbourne. He originally started the company 13 years ago up here on the Gold Coast, and I was working for him for about 6 years and then bought into the company after the fact. So come from an engineering background, so 10 years engineering, and currently just over a year in the business side of running the business.
Cool. Now, I suppose it's a bit of an interesting transition to move from you were an employee and you moved to, you know, basically bought into the business?
Correct, that's right.
So, I mean, what was the decision behind buying into the business rather than maybe branching out on your own? Because most people in our line of work seem to think, no, I want to go out and do it all myself and start my own business and have, you know, the full control.
I think it might have been half-half. There was a bit of a uniqueness in the company I was working at where, as an engineer, the clients that I had were my clients anyway, even though they were still the company's clients. I think you feel like that you have a relationship that you've built over the years with these clients. So for the 5 or 6 years that you're building up the relationship, think, well, why would I want to go and waste all that relationship and go and start up some new ones when I can just keep those relations and move forward? So to me, it seemed like a no-brainer.
Okay, well, so, I mean, from there, how have you found that transition, obviously, from being the technical side and then, you know, going into a more management? Was it a gradual thing, or was it sort of, you know, one day I'm an engineer, the next day I'm management sort of thing?
Pretty much it was exactly what you said, one day engineer, next day management, though it probably was about 3 months for that transition to take place, and the hardest step was literally putting the tools down. I've in IT or in business, I haven't done anything harder since. So, up until then was literally going, okay, any jobs that come through now are now going to an engineer that I have doing the work. So that was a very difficult process. And so, it probably took about a month to actually sink in how that worked.
Okay, so normally, as you said, you build up a relationship with these customers. They like you because you've done a good job and you've solved their technical problems. Isn't it a bit of a shock for them for suddenly to find you now not, you know, fixing their problems?
So, I suppose with the technical side with the clients, I was still very much in touch with it, but I was upfront and honest with them, and I said this is the position of myself now, and one of my technical engineers, I introduced them, and they were starting doing the everyday technical side, and then I was the escalation. So any jobs that they couldn't do, then I would step in and still help out, though I wouldn't be hands-on as such. I would just help or train the technical person through the day-to-day process, and then eventually hope at that point in time that I would eventually step aside or back, and then I wouldn't have to do any technical at all.
And that seems to be the way that it's worked out?
Yeah, about 4 months ago, I guess, is probably when it really kicked in, when I first got my manager on board to take over the full runnings of the engineering every day.
So, I mean, how do you find, I mean, was your back, how did you, what was your sort of background? Were you a technical person from the get-go or?
Before coming into IT, I suppose I worked in customer service for 5 years in a network video store. So face-to-face customer service, and that was just going into a technical role into an IT career. It was face-to-face as well with the customer. So to me, it was one and the same, both technical and face-to-face. It just didn't seem like there was a big gap between it. So I suppose with my personality, it just seemed to fit really well.
So you've come probably more from the customer service rather than the pure technical background. Would that be true?
Yeah, I guess so. Just growing up in your teens, working, you know, when anyone works at Woolworths as a cash register or et cetera, I just worked at Network Video and just selling videos, I suppose, on a day-to-day basis. So it was just a casual job.
No, yeah. I mean, I think the interesting thing I find is there are a lot of people who are, you know, in the SMB space and doing resellers tend to focus on, they're very technical people. They enjoy, you know, fiddling with the knobs and twisting the dials and using screwdrivers and installing drivers. And when they need to make that next step up, you know, if that's what they're trying to achieve, they find it very hard because they love the technical stuff so well, they love the challenge. So again, it sounds to me as though you're probably not as wedded to the technology. You're happy sort of to use it and move on and use it as a stepping stone.
Yeah, I suppose if we go back a step before I took that leap, I do remember saying to myself that, you know, I love engineering and I wanted to be doing this for the rest of my life. That was before I came to realization that there's more in life than doing the engineering. So a couple of books that I read made me realize that there's more to this world. And after reading those books, I thought, okay, definitely love engineering, but there's more I can do and I want to be able to do something different and try and help help as many people as possible.
So do you mind sharing what those sort of books were? Were they, you know, the traditional management ones and, you know, personal development ones?
Yeah, definitely traditional. Robert Kiyosaki, the series. Rich Dad Poor Dad series. Mm-hmm. The Richard Branson novel. Mm-hmm. And then I suppose after the fact was the Steve Jobs book.
Oh, yep.
They're just the usual ones that most people read, but they definitely give you some light into this world and realization that there's more to just helping out on an engineering point of view when you can help multiple people at the same time.
Okay, all right. So obviously that's the role that you've you know, grown into and then, you know, worked your way up towards, I suppose. And I think that one of the discussions we had recently was about, you know, growing the business. So now that, you know, I assume your responsibilities include the ability to obviously grow the business and increase it. And is that the goal that you have in mind?
That's the goal I have now. Even as an engineer, I suppose, but as a manager, you have 6 or 10 different hats. So in the last just over a year, you go through all these different processes, but in the last probably 1 month, I dare say, is putting the full-time hat on as a business development position within the company.
Okay, so I mean, we talked about this, and what you found to be the most effective way to increase sales or to get the word out or to grow the business has been networking events.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely networking events. Going to multiple different networking events every week. But as we discussed last time, it's actually choosing the networking events that you think will give you the most business or generate the most leads, I suppose, to be able to give you the most business or to build the strategic partners from them.
So, I mean, again, how do you make that sort of decision as to what's, you know, worthwhile? You come across, I mean, I suppose let's take a step back. I mean, obviously, you know, you get someone to obviously source these networking groups for you, which we talked about, but then who makes the decision as to whether it's worthwhile? Is that something that you do?
Yeah, I suppose I still can't even answer that question now. I still try to go to as many different networking events as possible without having a clear-cut approach of is this going to work or is this not going to work, because I suppose I have gone to networking events that have over 150 people at them and you can get some really good leads from them, and I've also been to networking events that have had less than 10 people and also received some leads plus business from those groups as well.
So, I mean, is there any commonality on what you find works well? I mean, is there something that you could pass on to people that would say, you know, look for this sort of event or this sort of environment, or is it just been random luck in your case?
The networking events, I suppose, that have worked the most are the generic ones. So the ones that are focused just on, say, an industry. So they might have a networking event that only their industry leaders go to, so it might be a design industry, etc. I found those ones are very not as open and easy to open a discussion with these people because they're very focused on what they do every day. The networking events that are very broad and that invite industries from all over seem to be, they draw the salespeople, they draw the, you know, the BDMs from the crowd. They're the people that are trying to chase their own leads for their own company, so they're more open to discussion and to also meet up afterwards. Because obviously they want to get something out of it as well. That's why they go.
I mean, that's not the question I was going to say. Isn't it a sort of a giant environment where everybody's trying to sell and nobody's listening? I mean, is that your experience or?
I definitely might have come across, but it hasn't come across like that to myself because that's not my approach. So I don't see it that way. Though other people that do go, you can definitely get that vibe from them. My entire approach is, how can I help you? What can I bring to the table, and how can I be able to assist you and your business? There's no sales approach in it. There's no, hey, let's meet up straight away. Let's see if I can help you out first, and if I can, then let's meet up.
I would think that's it's a strange thing to say that, you know, to go to these networking events and really what you're going there is you're looking to help people rather than to sell. I think my experience has been that in these traditional networking events, Chamber of Commerce and, other industry organizations, you find that you tend to walk in the door, and if you're the newbie, you tend to get accosted by everybody trying to sell their product, and not a lot of people are really listening to who you are or what you're doing. But I think, you know, the right attitude it works really well is to go and say, look, you know, this is what I do. How can I help you? And that obviously is less intimidating. And again, I think the big benefit is if you can't help the individual you're speaking to, I would guess that they would certainly know somebody that could use your help, especially in the IT field, and that's where you're going to get the benefit.
Yeah, and that's, as you said, especially in the IT field, I think I mentioned this before, the most common thing you get asked, as soon as you mention your IT, one is either do you build websites, or two, my email or printer isn't working, and everyone has those same issues or come across those same problems within their own business or personal computing. So in that circumstance, as soon as you mention IT, it starts the conversation straight away. They either say they hate it or they love it. But when you're trying to listen out for trying to generate them business or trying to help them out with their circumstances, it's quite easy. Well, I found it quite easy that as soon as they mention an industry that they're in, I automatically relate that to someone I know in that industry or someone that's like a strategic partner with that industry and try to point them in the right direction.
Okay, so, I mean, why do you think an example here is that most of these people that coming to these network events, I mean, do they already have, for example, an IT person looking after them? Do they have an incumbent?
I think both. They've already either got an IT company that they currently use and they're happy with them. They've got one that they use and they're not happy with them. I've also met as recent a lot of people that are going out on their own. So they're moving out from working at a big corporate to running their own little business. So then they need a setup. Might not even be a small setup in the beginning. All across all board.
Yeah, and I think that it's interesting that why do you think that they're so readily or they're so happy to discuss those sort of things with you, who is typically a complete stranger and you know, they really don't know anything about you apart from the fact that you've lobbed up in front of them, sort of thing?
Actually, to be honest, never really thought of it. Just it's an open community, it's an open forum, it's a networking event, and people are open and honest. I haven't really found many people to hold back and to not give away, unless they've got some awesome invention or idea. They're the only ones that do hold back. Everyone else is pretty open with giving feedback and the like, straightforward in a 5 to 10 minute conversation.
So again, is it because you think, I mean, they're obviously the good events you're talking about that you've had success with, that you find that?
No, I guess across the board, all the events I've been to is all the same. I suppose going back on the first question you have around networking events is picking the right ones. The ones that I have found haven't worked as well are the ones that actually have a sit-down presentation, because they seem to have a 10 or 15 minute networking before the sit-down. They do the presentation for an hour, and then they usually, or most people, get up and leave straight away, because it's, you know, by that time it's 8:30, 9 o'clock. They're the ones that haven't worked as well, because you only get that short period of time, 10 or 15 minutes, to do the networking, and the rest is a presentation.
Okay, so, I mean, you go to these events, is your strategy to meet as many people as you can, or if you strike up a conversation or, you know, make a connection with someone, you're happy to talk to them for the whole time?
Yep, 100%. If you think that it's going to go somewhere and you think it's definitely worth your while, then stay there, just meet that one person. If you get one contact out of the event and it's worth your while, you have a meeting with them afterwards, then why not? The hardest part is, I suppose, be able to say no or be able to move on to the next person once you realize that you can't help them. If they're in a big enterprise corporate environment and you know that you'll never be able to, help them out, or they'll be able to help you out, or they're very negative at the conversation, which you do come across a fair bit, then you want to be able to get there out there as quick as possible, because there's so many more people you can talk to that might be a benefit to yourself.
Okay, so once you've obviously made contact with these people, the networking event, and they've shown interest or whatever, I mean, what's your step to, move it to the next level? How do you follow up? What sort of process do you use there?
Two step. First is there in front of them. So if you get a really good vibe and you have a good conversation, then ask them on the spot. Be up front and say, hey, would you like to catch up for a coffee this week or next week? Have your phone on you, your iPhone, bring it out, bring your calendar up in front of you, in front of them, and say, okay, when suits you, book it in there and then, send them a calendar invite, done. Then it's already booked in, planned, and you can move on to the next person. You do come across the good vibes, or you get to know straight away whether you can do that or not. Don't try and do that approach with everyone, but you definitely can do that. The other process is, if you just receive a business card, you have a good conversation, but there's no real sales conversation around it, then keep that business card, take it home, either do it that night or the next day, send them an email, add them on LinkedIn, Facebook, etc., and see if you can catch up and see if there's any business you can pass through that way.
Okay, so I mean, do you find that a lot of them, the ordinary businesses outside of IT, are using the social networks to any great extent?
Yeah, I found a lot of professional services to be using LinkedIn a lot. If you go from the lawyers, solicitors, accountants, for some reason they have adapted to the LinkedIn side of social media more than what I would have expected. The people I meet just this year, I suppose, is in those industries, that's their first question is, are you on LinkedIn? I'll add you straight away. Why are you standing in front of them in the conversation? I'm not sure if there's a professional services reason around that, or if it's because that they try to look trendy because you're in IT, I'm not sure. But it seems to work for them, and they seem to refer back to LinkedIn a fair bit.
Okay, so I mean, what you're saying basically, I suppose, is one of the key elements we could take away, at least initially, is it's very important, obviously, to have a LinkedIn profile and have it up to date, have the relevant information, and then obviously use that to connect with other people.
Correct, yes. And start going through your LinkedIn profile and use it to your advantage. Start emailing out to these people that you might have already been connected to, or their second or third connections, and try and organize a catch-up. You just never know where it's going to lead to.
Have you ever used LinkedIn to, get an introduction to the next level out? So you might, find someone that you know who, or you want to make contact with who knows someone within your LinkedIn. Have you ever used that as a mechanism at all?
I've definitely used it as a conversation starter. So not connecting through LinkedIn, but if you can see a second or third connection, then speak to your first connection and say, hey, I noticed that you're connected to this person. Do you know them personally? Because we all know these days that a lot of people add people onto LinkedIn for no reason. So find out if they know them personally and then go, can I have an introduction? And then normally what I found is they just start a three-way email conversation, send an email to themselves, the connection, and you, and then introduce each other.
All right. So, I mean, obviously LinkedIn's the preferred one for the business side of things, but I think you're also very positive or very big on the Facebook side of it as well. Is that true?
Yeah, Facebook groups. So using them to your advantage as well, especially in networking events, knowing that, like I've signed up a Brisbane networking events group and also a Young Entrepreneurs networking event on Facebook. So the whole concept is when you're at these networking events, if they don't fit into your category of, hey, can I sell you something within IT, maybe it might be a benefit of them coming to a different networking event or a Young Entrepreneurs event and start a conversation that way and say, hey, I'll add you on this Facebook group, and then you build that relationship through an online source. And then you can start a discussion. Then eventually, after a week or two, they actually realize what you do, and then you can help them out, even if it's on the basic Office 365, etc. Everyone uses email these days, so you can help them out in more ways than just selling them to them straight up front.
So these Facebook groups, are they all a total online thing? Do they, you know, do you actually have your own networking event, or are they just all basically online?
No, so it's definitely online, but once a month we do meet up. So online is a discussion that people throw ideas back and forth, and then once a month is a sit-down, catch-up, structured event that is, like, currently we have about 150 members in the Young Entrepreneurs group online, but every month between 30 and 40 people turn up to the event.
And the event that you run, do you find it's mainly the same sort of people or the same faces, or are there new faces? I mean, what's the dynamic of it?
Definitely always new. I'll probably say 30% are the same, and then the rest, so 70%, would be new faces each time. This depends if it's Brisbane, Gold Coast, etc. And because there's always different topics and people can't come some months and people can come different months, then they tend to switch around a fair bit as well.
So, I mean, what's the general format of these events that you do conduct? Is it just, you know, we all come in and talk about things, or is there a topic to discuss, or some sort of, you know, general agenda? I mean, is there any, you know, what's the sort of structure of these groups that you find works?
So we start off, like, in the beginning is just the everyone stands up, gives an introduction to themselves. At that point in time, I take a lot of notes about who's in the room and what they do. And then afterwards, I try to link up a few people and say, hey, you might be a good strategic partner for this person. You should catch up in the break and have a really good conversation. So everyone gives an introduction on themselves, and then we move on to the topic of that month. And the topic of the month is usually decided before the event through the Facebook group on what the most likes or most people want to talk about that month. So it could be an ideal work week, strategic partners, sales, depending on the topic that's on most people's minds.
And how long do they usually run for, the event?
2 hours is the event, which is structured, and then 2 hours of networking afterwards, which is not structured.
So saying it's four hours in total?
4 hours in total. It's on a Saturday night. It starts at 4 p.m. and finishes at, well, it depends on who wants to stay behind, but usually goes from 4 to 6 as a structure. And if you want to stay back and network afterwards, you can network from 6 p.m. onwards, usually till 8 p.m. People have dinner and then scoot home, or stay and have a night out on the town.
Okay, so you're finding that most people are happy to devote some of their weekend time to doing that?
Yep, 100%. At least between the 4 and 6, I would say 80%. 20% stay on afterwards to go on, but 80% of the crowd loved coming on the Saturdays. Some people say, oh, I can't do Saturdays, and they might come one month and then not come the next month, and vice versa. So people are very happy, and we've had even polls within the group to say, hey, do you want to move to a Friday, or do you want to have it during the week? And people want to keep it on a Saturday.
And, are there any sort of, I mean, is it people from all over the place? I mean, what sort of, industries you attract? Is it, you know, do you get some mainstays, or it's very, very, very generic?
Very generic. Mostly business owners, but we also do have employees that turn up as well. All different industries, so I wouldn't be able to pinpoint. A few in the online space and IT space, but I would say 80% would be very across all other industries, with professional services to manufacturing, engineering, colleges, fashion design, car brokers, all over the place.
And how long have these been running for now?
In total, it's been running across Australia for about 3-4 years now. I've been the one locally for the last few months, so this year in total. But it started off with a big group as such down in Sydney and Melbourne, and then it's ventured off around the country.
Okay, all right. And where do you see this as, I suppose the way you get the most leads? I mean, you talked about a number of different networking groups. I mean, is this the most, the best ROI you get?
For some of the members in the group, yes, for sure. They have received some really good deals from the group. For myself personally, I've thought about this in the past. It could be two reasons why I don't think this is the best for myself. Is one is because I'm the face and I run the show, in regards to that, maybe they don't approach me as much as I would go like at a networking event. So that's one thing I've thought of. Or the other thing is, because I'm doing so much preparation and structure to the event itself, maybe I'm not giving myself enough time to network with the people within the group. But for the other members, yeah, definitely they have received a lot of good deals through the group for their own business.
Okay. And most of this is just come through word of mouth. I mean, is that how the group is obviously growing and getting out there?
Yep, definitely word of mouth and networking events. So every networking event I go to, if they are a small business owner or they seem like they are, do have a bit of an entrepreneurial aspect to themselves, then I'll mention to them straight away and say, hey, we run this group. I think you should come. It'd be very, you know, it's going to be very beneficial to yourself. Meet some cool, interesting people, get some really good ideas. And then some come, some don't, but at least that's how you get the word out there.
Okay. So, I think obviously, you know, the networking things, you know, they're working well and you're getting the business and you know, generating leads and all that sort of stuff. But how much of your time would you suggest, you know, as a percentage-wise, business time is spent at these networking events? How much time are you dedicating to doing this sort of thing?
I would like to dedicate 8 hours a week. Currently, I'm only dedicating between 2 to 4 hours. So I would like to double that at least because I know it can generate a lot of business. I think the reason I think it's slowed down a bit is winter could be an effect, you know, actually getting out there and staying out after work and not want to go home, crawl under the blanket. The other thing is motivation. I suppose your motivation drops off a bit when winter comes around and also the way the economy is at the moment.
I thought that they'd banned winter in Queensland.
Yeah, no, not quite. Oh, no, this would be, it's still summer for you, probably up here.
Interesting. So, I mean, what's your general feeling about, you know, the people that you meet and the entrepreneurs and all that? I mean, are they positive on things going forward and the economy? Is it, you know, are they enthusiastic or they see it, you know, they're struggling? Or what's the general mood of the people that you're, you know, at your group?
I think most people are in the same boat. They definitely are positive. They do know it's a struggle and they do know they have to cut a lot of things out of their life to get through the next period, the next 6 to 12 months. But it's a positive thing and it's good. It's definitely good meeting positive people, especially now in this downturn, because then it actually gives you some hope and some spirit and makes you want to achieve what you actually do want to achieve in life. So being around these positive people do help. But their point of view is, hey, yeah, it is pretty crap right now. Let's put our heads together. Let's come up with some really good ideas and let's get through it together.
Okay, so I mean, obviously, you know, saying that the situation's not as rosy as it could be. I mean, obviously, that's a difficult thing to work through. I mean, what do you have any, you know, suggestions or techniques or secrets apart from the networking and filling your time with positive people? Are there any other recommendations you would have for people that may be going through the same sort of struggle?
Honestly, if you're going through this struggle right now, which you most likely are, then find someone positive to hang around and to realize that you can get through it and there is light at the end of the tunnel. If you don't do that, you will be stuck behind your computer desk going, yeah, looking at your bank balance going, where's it going? What am I going to do? How do I get out of this mess? Speaking to some financial advisors or some, you know, accountants in regards to how do you cut your expenses, what can you do now to prevent your company from going under so then in the future it's going to be there, which you're only talking 6 months away before we're going to be out of this mess. So just find some positive people to hang around. More than welcome, go to any of the networking events. I can put you in touch with the Sydney crew, the Brisbane crew, the Melbourne crew, and just go hang around these people and get some really good ideas. Some ideas that have come from these groups and have implemented have worked a treat. So do the same for yourself. Listen to these people. They've gone through it. They're here to help each other out, which is one thing I do want to bring up. If you do want to attend any of the events, it's we're here to share. We're not here to take. So we're here to literally put our business on the line and help our fellow member out. We're not here to just try and steal some ideas and take the idea and run with it. So if you do hear of someone having a good idea, it's their idea, it's not yours. Don't steal it.
Okay, so I mean, is the you know, do you think that you know that it's sort of an environment that you know people can come into, and is it, you know, I'm trying to say, I suppose, is it only for a certain mindset, or you know, can people come in, you know, maybe not thinking the right way or not having the right business, and then you know be turned around by what's on offer and the assistance and you know what you can provide as a group?
Yeah, and that's I suppose the smiles I see on people's faces are the ones that come in thinking there's no light at the end of the tunnel. They spend an hour to 2 hours to maybe 4 hours at one of these events, and they realize afterwards, hey, this is easy. I can get out of this. I got all this support. People are in the same position. You're not on your own, and you can get out of the shit that you're in, really.
Okay. So, I mean, is that what you're seeing with people who are coming? That's why they're coming to the events initially, because they're in – you know, they're in having issues or their struggles, or they're, you know, they need somewhere to vent or, you know, drown their sorrows. Is that their main motivation for joining?
I suppose you've got two sides of it. One is, yeah, they might be in a lot of the struggles and they think, oh, maybe, hey, what am I going to lose by going to this? And, hey, you just never know. There could be a good opportunity to see if I am on my own or if there is other people around that can help me out to get me out of this mess that I'm in. Or the other side of it is, hey, I'm starting out in business now, and I really just need to know what to do to get off the ground, or how do I take my business to the next level. So all walks of life.
Do you find these people, they come to a networking event and they prefer to, you know, they hide in a corner because they don't know anybody, or are they, you know, actually coming to the event actively seeking people and solutions? I mean, are they extroverts or introverts, do you generally find?
I would say 50-50. In the beginning, I would say definitely all extroverts, but as time's gone on, a lot of introverts are coming, sitting in the corner and listening, and then you think, oh, are they getting much out of this? Are they not? You have a quick chat with them at the end, and they go, oh, I got so much out of that, even though you're thinking, oh, they're just sitting there, not really, you know, not really taking anything in. So now these days, I'd say 50-50. But in the beginning, definitely extroverts.
And do you have a strategy within your group to try and, you know, bring them out, or just happy to sort of leave them sit in the corner and taking what they can and contribute where they want to?
Yeah, no, just definitely happy. Not want to force them into any direction. Everyone's got a different personality. You'll come out of your shell when you decide to come out of your shell. The whole concept, as I said in the beginning of the meeting, you stand up and you give some time on yourself and your business, and then we try to link people up with each other to say, hey, go and have a 5 or 10 minute chat with this person. I think that definitely helps, because in the beginning we weren't doing that, and you would find that the introverts would just, you know, sit in the corner still. So getting physically, making them as a task, hey, you're meeting up with this person in the break to have a chat, then they were able to come out of the shell a lot more and feel like they're a part of the team.
Okay, and again, do you see that you know, there's these people they take in from and they stay as part of the group, or they take what they need and then they move on to something else?
Yeah, saying that question, I thought exactly what you just said. I thought they would just come once and then not turn up again because that's their personality, but incorrect. They're the ones that have stuck around the longest and travel, because we have, like say, the Queensland group, I hold in two different locations, Brisbane and Gold Coast, to try and grab the two different demographics. And the introverts are the ones that drive and that attend to both meetings, so which I was not expected. So it's good to see.
Okay, and do you think that, you know, I mean, are you happy? You know, obviously you've got the two groups going. Is there any plans to look at expanding, you know, that sort of region that you're doing?
We were thinking about Sunshine Coast, etc., but we're getting people that are coming down from the Sunny Coast and from Cairns now, so they're flying down for the weekend. So I think they're happy with the two groups. We put this out to the group to say, hey, what is everyone liking? Do you want to keep this same scenario? And everyone at the moment says yes, let's keep the two alternative months, Gold Coast, Brisbane. But if it comes to the point that we just have it in Brisbane and then all the Gold Coast people have to drive down, then we can do that as well on the monthly basis. But I think they like the idea of it always moving, so then Brisbane people can actually get out of Brisbane and go down to the Gold Coast and get away from it, and the same for the Gold Coast people.
Okay, and I mean, these people that are members of the group, I mean, what do they need to, what's their contribution to the group apart from obviously turning up? Is there anything formal, like is there a fee or is there, you know, is there anything required of them to be a member of the group?
To be able to contribute and give advice and help each other out. That's the name of the game. There's no money that trends that goes through hands. There's no membership fees. There's no nothing at all. The whole concept is we find venues that are free. We find venues that are willing to give their time, effort, provide food, drink tabs, etc. And then we just want the members to turn up and to actually put their hand up and have a say when it's their turn to have a say and give back to the group as well.
And do you find that everybody's able to have their say? I mean, obviously they're fairly getting towards fairly large numbers. I mean, it could be a bit of a handful managing if everybody, you know, decided they wanted to speak. I mean, that's worked out well?
Yeah, it has. I think because of the way we structure, and like in the first hour of the meeting, it's a structured sit down. We cover some topics, etc. And then the next hour is we break off into little groups, into 5-man groups or 3-man groups, and then you work as a team within that group. And then we come together at the end and we give feedback as a group, like as little groups to the big whole group. So then we're all contributing. So there's no bantering and people talking on top of each other, and there's none of that because I think the way that it has been structured.
And the smaller groups, how do you choose those? Are they, you know, we go with people we choose, or you actually, you know, pick people out of a hat or assign them to their own little group?
So far, we've been doing it on the basis of how big the companies are. So if you're a one-man band or you're just starting off with an idea, then you're together in a group. If you've got 5 or less employees, then you're together in a group. If you've got 5 or more employees, then you're together in a group. That's how we've been doing it, and it's been working well, because then your ideas that you're contributing within your little 3 or 5-man group is around, you can all relate to each other because you're on the same page. In the beginning, we did have mixed groups and different industries and also different size businesses, and some of the smaller, like one-man bands, we're not getting the right information out of that because there was bigger organizations in the group, and they were talking about, you know, management and managing staff, and the smaller one-man bands go, well, I don't have any staff to manage. How can I contribute to this? So we split it up, we changed it around, and it seems to be working very well now.
Okay. Do you get, you know, all sorts of business owners, or are you particularly focused on, you know, perhaps the, you know, the under 30s or under 35s or whatever? I mean, is it, you know, across the board?
We've got a business coach turning up next week who I don't want to say his name. He's age out loud, but I would just say we're in mid-60s, I guess. Mm-hmm. So there's no age limit at all.
The commonality obviously is the entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurial. So you got to be young at heart. There's nothing around the actual age of a person. As long as you're willing to contribute and give some advice and feedback and help each other out, then there's no age bracket on that.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously you're doing all this and you know, you've got, you know, that working well, obviously by the sound of it, you've got, you know, the connections going, but obviously, as you mentioned at the moment, you know, the economy could be much better than it is. So, are you doing anything else besides this networking, or is that sort of you're 100% focus?
I dare say it's about 100% focus. You have your standard social media, Google AdWords, etc., running in the background, trying to generate leads as well. And strategic partnerships is what I'm focusing on now. But in saying that, you know, they won't tend to give you much business, probably 6 to 12 months. So they take time to build relationships. So unless there's some other ideas or aspects out there apart from networking events, more than happy to share that. That would be fantastic.
Okay, so I mean, obviously you devote a lot of time obviously to attending these, but also by the sound of it, also managing and running them. You know, is this desire, is this, you know, the effort you put in, you know, just mainly to get a, you know, return and open the opportunities for your business, or do you see it sort of as something you personally want to achieve as well?
It's mainly personally. I wouldn't say I'm doing it for the business. It's mainly to be able to give back to the community. You know, when I first started out in business, you know, only not long ago, over a year ago, I went up here in Queensland going, hey, I'm on my own. There's no one else around. Who do I talk to? You're sitting on top of a, you know, ladder that's just on your own. that's when starting to get involved in these type of groups and you're going, hey, I can definitely speak to people about this, then you realize, okay, no, I'm not on my own, I can do this. And then you speak to more and more people and they go, hey, we thought we were on our own too. So opening up a community like this actually then allows these people coming into the workforce to do something extraordinary on their own and to take that plunge. They realize that they're not on their own and we can actually help each other out.
So, I mean, if there's someone out there who's listening, who's, you know, at the top of their ladder, and like you said, they've been struggling to find like-minded people, and, you know, they're struggling into maybe perhaps bring in the business or open opportunities or see beyond, you know, their current situation. I mean, in your experience, what's the best way for them to get involved in a networking event that will obviously, you know, work for them or that they would, you know, get some sort of return out of? What advice would you have for them?
If they are struggling to find their own little community group to get involved with, honestly, add me on Facebook or send me an email and I can point them in the right direction in any state in Australia. More than happy to help out in that way. So send me an email. I guess I'll leave my details at the end and you can post it up online. Otherwise, if you are looking for just a group within your own little community, then go onto the usual places where you look. LinkedIn has groups after groups these days, or Facebook. Everyone's making their own little groups and their own little communities, and also Gumtree. Look through Gumtree and you'll be able to find a fair few things that are out there these days. I know Eventbrite's listing hundreds and hundreds of local events, but it's just finding those like-minded people to be able to,
The other one I've seen, obviously, I've seen meetup.com is another one as well. That's right, that sort of community. So,
there's hundreds out there now. There used to only be one or two, but now there's hundreds.
Yeah, well, I think that's, I mean, part of that question was also aimed at is the fact that, you know, how do you, are there any sort of things that are the key indicators of what are, you know, good networking groups in your experience?
If you go to one and get a really good vibe from it, then stick to it. If you don't get a good vibe, don't go back. It's really straight. It's back to the caveman days of gut feel. You know, if you have a good gut feel, then go with it. If you don't, then find somewhere else to go to and try them out. Try a few different ones out. I know, like, when you first attend a BNI group, you might want to go and attend three or four different BNIs before you decide you want to join one. Do the same thing with a networking group. Even though they're free, just attend as many as you can. Nothing gained, nothing ventured.
Okay, so I mean that's pretty good advice there. I think it's obviously, you know, the only way that you're going to succeed is you're going to try. And I think at the end of the day, you know, not everything's going to work for you, and you need to keep looking until you find the group that meets you. And at the end of the day, you may also find that at some point in time you may grow beyond that group, or the group may change. So, you know, I think you've got to be prepared to move and change along as you would in a business. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. It's evolution, you know, especially if you want to grow your business and you go from one man band to a few staff to a few more staff, then as you grow within yourself or your business, then you're going to need to find different groups that will help you along that road. You know, if you're going through a phase, you know, example, you go through a phase in your company or your business that you need a lot of accounting advice for, you go to a lot of accounting seminars and meet a lot of different accountants and get free advice from all those different accountants, they're more than welcome to help out. So find the ones that suit you at the time and point in your company or in your business that you need.
So what's your feeling? I mean, should you network with people outside your industry or your vertical, or is there something to be gained by, you know, focusing maybe if you're in the IT, networking with the IT crowd? I mean, should you be doing both, either, or what's your feeling there?
I suppose in this forum, definitely both. Two sides of it. One is the IT side. You want to be able to talk to the different IT people within the community to find out what they're going through, what struggles they are, help them out, or they can help you out, throwing different ideas back and forth. That's a no-brainer. I think this community has been going for a long time now, and people have been helping each out for a long time. So that's on the everyday engineering or IT side. That's straightforward. The other side is do you want to grow your business? Then the networking events is the way to do it.
So, I mean, you know, we've done all this networking and, you know, you've put in all this time. But, I mean, what do you see as, you know, someone does something, you know, obviously to benefit your business or benefit yourself. I mean, how do you return the favor? I mean, you may not be able to do it for a while, or should you do it immediately or take them out for lunch? you know, how do you see that reciprocity working?
If the opportunity comes back, don't hold back. You know, if the opportunity comes up that you can give them business or give them the lead, then why not? The more you give, the more you get to receive.
But let's say that that's not, you know, immediately possible. I mean, you know, obviously you plan to do it down the track, but is it all right just obviously to wait off and until that opportunity arises?
Yeah, I think I'm just upfront with the people I meet up with and just say, hey, I know what you do and you've given me a good, really good rundown on your business because you've sat down with them for an hour. So you understand what their business is and how you can try and generate business for them. So you just say, okay, I'll keep my eyes and ears open, and as soon as an opportunity comes along the board, I'll throw your way straight away. Might not be tomorrow. It could be 6 months' time, but at least then they've had the conversation with you. You know what they do and what they don't do, and then you can pass them business if that doesn't happen.
Okay, and I mean, obviously, you may not see all these people all the time. I mean, is that the only place that you generally make contact with them, or do you, if you don't see them for a while, do you ring them up or send them an email or offer to get together? I mean, do you sort of pursue that beyond the networking group, the people who attend the networking groups?
Yeah, I guess it's back to gut feel again. When you have that connection with someone, they're the ones you more likely stay in contact with. And the people I have met through networking events in the past over the years, they've become friends these days. So the ones that you do click with, yeah, you'll know it's always on top of your mind to meet up with them again. What I'm in the process of now with meeting up with these other strategic partners, for example, is actually creating a wall, like a wall art with the strategic partners that we'll actually endeavor to pass business on to in the future. So they'll be literally on wall that you see every day in the office, and then you can your whole team can get involved and then start passing business through to them as well.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that obviously when you start networking with these people, you need to obviously make sure that other people in your business are aware of these contacts, and you're not just necessarily holding them, the cards close to your chest.
Well, that's right. Otherwise, they're relying on yourself only to give someone else business when you could have a whole team or a whole network of friends that could be giving them business as well.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, I think there's plenty of good information there. I think what we probably is worthwhile doing now as we approach our time with Lucas is, if you want to give us maybe some details, obviously your contact details and how they can maybe find those groups on Facebook or a bit of maybe a general roundup of what we've talked about and some recommendations that you think people should take away and get into if they're looking to obviously grow their business through the networking as you have done.
Yeah, sure. So I suppose a big chunk of what we spoke about is YEQ, which is Young Entrepreneurs Queensland. So you're more than welcome to search that on Facebook or send me an email directly to lucas@tse.com.au. And I'll definitely send you the link back to join that group. So, or if you're from a different state, if you're down in Sydney or down in Melbourne, send me through your details as well, and I will point you in the right direction for those groups, which is very similar. It's still EQ. It's just depending on if you're in New South Wales or down in Victoria. So apart from that, through the networking side of it, I still love to learn myself. I'm not an expert and I never will be. So if you do have any ideas on the networking side of things, I'd love to either have a Skype session with you or even converse some ideas back and forth via email. So still please send through your details, and that would be fantastic to see what your thoughts and feedback are on that. And my direct mobile number is 0410 414 828.
All right, so I'll make sure that all those details that Lucas has given out go up on the run sheet and the post for this blog post, for this podcast when it goes up. So hopefully there shouldn't be any issues with people contacting yourself when they do need, when they're looking for, some of the things that you've spoken about today. So take this opportunity, obviously, on behalf of all the listeners, to thank you very much for your time, Lucas. I know it's outside general business hours and everybody's supposed to have a life, but do appreciate you sharing all that information with the listeners, and I'm sure they'll get lots of benefit out of it. So once again, thanks very much for doing that for us.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks very much for having me, and I'm looking forward to the next session.
Excellent. All right. Well, this is the end of another Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. Thank you very much for listening.
This episode was brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/podcast and use the coupon code CIAOps. To provide feedback on this podcast, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.